All right, I'm just going to hit the start button and see what happens here. It's the news, according to me. I guess that's what's happened. Push the start button, that's what happens. It just starts working, I guess. Time for the show. This is going to be a real long show. I got a lot to do today. And, you know, you get what you pay for with this show. Speaking of which, there's no sponsor for this show. Not that I want one. I kind of prefer not to have one, actually. So it's kind of a... I don't know. I just don't want to be beholden to that kind of thing. I don't want to put something out there that's crazy. It's, you know, yeah. I tell you something I use, that's because I use it. That's why it's not sponsored. I'd like Harbor Freight. It's basically brought to you by Harbor Freight. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show. It's the news according to me. It's news stuff according to what I have to say about it. Today's Thursday, which is Theological Thursday. We talk about theological issues that are making the news. Or at least that's the plan. We'll see how it goes. We got the bots all wind up and wound up and all wired to go this morning. We'll see how they do. We have, I've got a nice hot cup of chai here. Just freshly made. The hotter it is, when I tell you it's really hot, that means everything came together this morning pretty well. Now, I had stuff to do. I was going to try to get the show out earlier this morning. I like to have it posted before 9 o'clock, but it's 9 o'clock. It's 9:04, by the way. It's September 3rd, 1994. Yeah. September 3rd, 2026. I think something like that. Seems like 94 to me. And it was 9:04 on the time. Now it's 9:05. So that's where I got that. Those numbers came, just kind of popped into my head because I was looking at them. Anyway, that's about all I got to say about that. We have the chai here. The hotter the chai is, that means the smoother the morning. When the chai is cold, that means I've been working on getting the show started for a while. So the chai is nice and hot this morning. And it's not even an insulated cup. It's actually just in a regular coffee cup. Cinnabon creamer. And, of course, in my backup cup, I have some of the finest sweet peach tea on the planet. I can't always stop taking swigs of that. We have it's good stuff. Thursday morning here. We have bots on the road. I get stuff going on. Let's see what I got the buttons pulled. Well, they're all pushed. I got all that stuff done. We got this and that. That and this and this and this and that. Just go ahead and freshen up your coffee. If you got coffee or whatever you got there. I'm sure you're not fortunate enough to have homemade sweet peach tea. What's the odds of that? Pretty rare, I would say. Hey, I want to talk about stats real quick. Statistically speaking, it was off the charts there for a couple days. I don't know what was going on. Somebody was either binge watching or maybe there was a governmental thing. They were watching me. I don't know what was going on. We're back down to normal numbers again, which makes it look like it's because of this other, the way the chart goes. It's got this rating thing, and of course, when you got a really high spike, that puts all the rest of them down really low, the normal numbers, which makes it look like there's nothing to happen. It looks like it's on the basement now. According to, I don't know what was going on there. Something's kind of weird thing going on there. So that'll be on there for the next 90 days or 87 more days or whatever it's going to be. I don't know, whatever. Geographically, let's look at some geographic stats here, folks. Let's just do that real quick before we go into the little disclaimer thing. We've got, U.S. Japan is still the second largest country up there because New York. Singapore, but then Boston, Tokyo. So there's some interesting things happening there. London, England, of course, Tokyo again, Shibuya City, Singapore, Boston, Shioda City. That was the other one. Vienna, of course. Fort Wayne, Indiana, Los Angeles, Sayville, New York, Chicago, Illinois. Quite a few from Chicago there. Yeah, Fowler, Michigan, I don't know what they're doing. Newcastle, Maine. I don't know that I've noticed that one before. Pine Mountain, Georgia. Henderson, Kentucky. I've been in that area. I can't remember what it was down there. Anyway, let's look at the big chart here. We got, what's that little one right there? United United Arab Emirates, UAE. We have, there's Austria is still on the chart there. We got UK, of course, France, some others, Japan, of course. France, Canada, one. One. Nobody in Canada listens to this show, apparently. It's kind of funny. I guess they're mad about, must be mad about Lake America. No. We'll get into that later. We have, maybe, I doubt it. We plan to die. I don't really care. We have, it's just water. Water's important. It's just, it doesn't matter what you call it. It just doesn't matter to me. Where's it going with all that? We got to get back to the listens over here because I'm getting my normal stuff back up there. All right, that's all I got to say. We're gonna get. We're just gonna go ahead. Just listen to this for a little while. And we'll see what happens. That's all I got to say. Just here you go.
I got opinions. And I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two. But I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer. I'm definitely not your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official-like. And sure, I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional, I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that,
hey, come back, I'll enter it.
Yeah, that's the way that works. We have, I've been doing something in the background here, and I got to be able to. Oh, download started a zip file. I got to decide where it's going to go. I guess we're going to put it on this. Now we're going to put it on this thing right here because I don't want to go on my main hard drive. This weird thing happened. I think I'm just going to leave it there. Yeah, just going to put it on there. I had this weird thing. This one company I use. They've changed their terms of service. And they have this download thing happening now, where you have to download your stuff. They're gonna limit how many downloads you can create stuff on their site, and you can only you have to download things. You're limited on the downloads you can do per month. So basically, I've gone in and downloaded everything to make sure they're all downloaded on my part. But I've probably got about 100 things I need to download, 100 files I need to 100. And there's a few I need to get the waves and so I got to do some of that today. I got to get the wave files and all that stuff. There's some audio files I need to get done as well. But anyway, that's we'll save all that for Technical Tuesday, since it's Theological Thursday here. We've got things going on. We have we got callers here. We got some callers we get to go through. I think what we'll do here is we'll just start. I was going to have a panel discussion today, but I think I'm going to wait on that. I need to change some of my back end specs on here because I can't really build. There's a panel I can pull up, and one of the panels that you can pull up has a name. What is it called? Yeah, where is it at here? Yeah, it's in the studio part there. Let's go to this. The back end is thing. I hate that to talk. It's got like things like caller packs, they call them. So you can. Like the garage, you got your mechanic, your purist, your budget owner, total beginner. As far as like different kinds of people are involved in the show, so you can I got this little four people. You can have a panel discussion. There's one that's called garage, one that's called kitchen, one that's called startup. That's like a founder or an engineer, investor, you know, that kind of thing. So like a business startup type thing. Clinical leadership, which is more medical, and then you got the congregation, which is more of a church panel type thing. It's like a pastor and a scholar, a doubter, and a lifelong member. So you get three different, you know, get those, and you can change those around. You can put custom collars in there as well, which works as well. But it's kind of a little bit weird. I'm not sure exactly how to get the pack up there. So I got a few things to work out with that. How to get that done. I don't see any, I don't think I put anything in there to actually make it work. Anyway, that's the way that thing works. So I have all that going on. And then we have, is this thing? Yeah, I got it on. Okay. Yeah. We're just going to move on. We have, let's start off with Lenny today. Leonard. See how he does. He's been close to be losing his job here. So we'll see how this goes. If he's responsible this morning and asks the right questions and responds. The thing is, he contradicts himself with the questions he asks, and then the way he responds is sometimes he puts himself in a situation. It's like I can even agree with him, and then he comes back and he's all over the place. So that's kind of an issue.
Kevin,
yeah.
My man, quick yes. question.
Quick answer.
So this Maine High Court just ruled a dad can legally forbid his kid from going to church with the mom. Now everybody's screaming about religious freedom, but hold on. Doesn't parental custody law trump everything? I'm playing devil's advocate here. But if we're all about parental rights when it comes to schools and gender stuff, why are we suddenly against it when it's church? Help me understand the consistency.
This is a tough one. I've seen normally in a normal situation, what ends up happening, the way I've seen it worked out is when you're with one parent, you will go to whatever religion or parent or thing that they want. And then when you're with the other parent, they have to go to whatever religion that parent is, unless it's an abusive situation, which then usually the other parent doesn't even get parental rights at all. So this is a tough one because, you know, sometimes you have like Christian and or a Jewish person and a Christian are married to each other, or a Catholic, whatever. Two different faiths like that, and one disagrees with the other one's faith. It's really, you know, during the time that child is with that parent, they can have a Bible study in their home. It doesn't matter whether they go to church or not. I guess I just don't understand. I don't think they can stop someone from doing that. As long as the child's not being abused. Which I, you know, they can claim abuse or whatever they want to, but until it's been determined in the court, they can't do anything about it. So I don't know. I think it's when the parent is under, when they're under that parent's custody, they've been given that custody by the court. You know, the parental rights during that time, they have certain rights with that child. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer, not a financial counselor. All I know is, typically, that's the way it goes, and then by the time the child is able to make his own decisions or his or her decisions, they can do that. Now, when it comes to the child, you know, this crazy gender stuff, that's a whole other issue. But this because that's then you're found you're physically doing something to the child. This is I don't know. I guess it's just you know, when the other person has the child, you have the right to talk them out of everything. So what'd you learn last week in church? And then kind of go down this discussion route of you know, what will that, yeah, start asking the questions. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. I don't know. And legally, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, I suppose you could get a court order, you know, depending what the terms of the child custody thing is. I suppose you could get a court order to go against Gamers.
Now, hold on.
Oh, okay,
hold You're on. Dancing around the real issue.
What's
here,
the real issue?
And I've seen this in family court cases going back decades. The
so
difference is one parent physically removing a kid from a religious setting is active interference.
Yeah.
But talking through beliefs at home isn't the same thing legally. Courts have consistently said you can't use custody to block the other parent's religious practice, even if you disagree with it. That's First Amendment territory, not just parental preference.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. But it's during that time that you're, let's say, sorry, it's in my throat there. During that time that you have that child in your custody, in your care, that's up to you. You know, if you happen to have the child on the weekends, well, now you're taking them to church, and that's just going to be the way it's going to be. If your church meets in the you know, during the week, and you have them during the week, then you're taking that child to church during the week. That's I don't see. You know, I think the other parent can protest all they want to. I don't like the way they're brushing their teeth, whatever it is. That's not. It's just not a thing you're going to win. I don't. It's just. Unless there, like I said, unless there's some kind of abuse there going on, that's all I can see. It's a First Amendment issue, First Amendment territory, but that child doesn't have, you know, he's still under somebody's custody, somebody's under somebody's care. You're not a responsible adult yet. Now the child probably has its own opinions at that point, but it's still, you know, not fully developed and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's just some people are threatened by weird things. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, I think we'll move on. I was going to have him say something else, but he's a little bit all over the place with that one. I'm not sure exactly what he's saying. Let's go to Artie.
Hey, Kevin. Hey. Great show as always. Yeah. I've been digging into that Christian Post study about pastors reporting higher attendance, but fewer actual new converts to Christ. The data shows a sharp decline in unchurched attendees over the last decade. What's your technical analysis here? Are we just seeing better church shopping behavior from existing Christians, or is this pointing to a deeper evangelism failure in our methodology? The numbers don't lie, brother.
Okay, brother. Well, brother, brother, internet there. We have, you know, this brings up something. I'm going to wade into it. There's a whole thing why is there so much? There's a whole thing that goes on with this, the mega church thing and the popular kind of Sunday morning show. I call it mega church. It's the mini mega church, syndrome, where we have this, it's the popular kind of pop now kind of drive through mentality. In my opinion, it's kind of the fast food mentality of a church. And I know that's probably painting the picture a little bit more shallow than it is, but it is pretty it's pretty shallow. Having grown up in a church where, you know, your parents go and everybody's there and it's a family thing and everybody knows everybody and most everybody's related because they've all been married into each other. It's, you know, almost it's pretty close to being inbred back when I was a kid. You know, society was a smaller world and we were, you know, somebody would marry somebody's cousin and that find out they're also cousins to somebody else that was on their side of the family. You had family relatives on both sides of the family. And it was just, that's typical. It still happens to this day, but that's the kind of tight-knit society we used to have. And there just wasn't that many churches. And your family would go to this particular church or the denomination that was in your town, and that's where you went. And that's kind of where you grew up and you kind of stayed in that zone. But And I'm talking back in the 60s and 70s. Nowadays, people shop around, hop around, go where they feel like they're getting what they want, where the show is good, where they like the music, it's not too loud, it's not too, not, you know, it's modern enough for them, it's not modern enough for them, you know, it's got the hymns, it's got the whatever it is that they're looking for, they can shop around. And this mentality, in my opinion, it skews the numbers, because now we're looking at attendance numbers, which you don't know. I was a part of a church for a while. I was on staff, and I was in charge of the home groups. Home groups were basically, they were only for members. You had to be a member of the church in order to be in there. Well, that, you know, we had people. It was almost 1,000 people a week attending the church. We had several meetings, about three or four meetings a week on a weekend services. And we had like a Saturday night and two or three on a Sunday. During that time, we had like 1,000 people attending every weekend. The problem was we only had 300 members. And now you're, you know, and some of those are already in home groups. And now you're trying to find leaders for those home groups. So you're trying to build the home group thing. I think we had like 7 or 8 home groups, mostly, I think, up to 10 people, I think, could be in them. I think it was 8 to 10, typically, is what was in there, 4 couples, 4 or 5 couples. So we, you know, the way it was designed, well, you had to be, in order to be a leader, of course, or even to be a, you know, a member, you had to show that you were tithing, you had to show all this stuff, and you had to be, then to be a leader, you had to be, and you had to have 2 leaders for a home group. So that even makes it, you know, one more hurdle to jump over. It was very difficult to start a new home group. The problem, and of course, because most of the time, the people who are members are doing all the work. They're the ones who are, you know, on the teams, they're doing the things that are happening. And most of those teams revolve around making the show good on Sunday morning, keeping the maintenance. There was the maintenance team. There was the grounds team. You had, you know, lawnmower people, the people who, you know, took care of the yard and all the trees and all that stuff. Parking area, all that stuff out there, you know, shoveling snow, dusting, whatever it was. Then you had the internal people that were doing internal maintenance and internal cleaning and cleaning team and all that stuff. Most of it just around the building and facility and the show on Sunday morning. You know, you had the worship team, you had the back end team, you had all the stuff they had going on. And then you had this prayer team, you know, one prayer team. Or you had maybe a small group thing or something, and then you had people on staff. It was all about the Sunday morning show. It was all about the weekend show, because that's where all the money came in. And when you do that, it skews all of the numbers, in my opinion, as to, okay, who's really... who's attending, who's not. Sometimes they don't even take attendance. They just count, they're trying to count heads, and that they don't get that right every time. So I think that there's a very strange dynamic there. It just, the numbers themselves, I think, are really right now, and we're at a weird time in our country with regard to church. And a lot of people go to home churches. And we do, that's where I go. I have a home church I go to, and we don't, we attend another church occasionally, sometimes, but I'm free pretty much on Sunday mornings to go wherever we want to go. You typically, a lot of times we just go to visit friends. We go to a friend's church, not a friend's church, not a Quaker church, but I could go. I'm free on, because I'm free on Sunday mornings. But typically, you know, now I'm because of my schedule, I'm going a lot on Sundays, so it kind of makes that kind of more difficult. And a lot of times when I am home or free on a Sunday. Not as much so much anymore, but I tend to get invited to lead worship somewhere. So it's kind of a weird thing where I fill spots like that, and it becomes more difficult with the job I've got right now. Now it's going to change in about a year. I'll be retired, and I'll have my Sundays open again. So my schedule will be very flexible again, which will be very interesting, I think, with some of the stuff that's going on. So that's where it's at. So I think that, I don't think the numbers are quite accurate. I guess that's what I'm saying. I think we're going through a time where I think it's a little bit difficult to count. I think it's hard to quantify. That's what I'm saying. The numbers are what they are, and maybe they're right, but I have a feeling that they're off. I have the feeling we're not seeing something. I have the feeling the numbers aren't showing us the whole picture. I guess that makes sense. That's my thought on the whole thing. So,
yeah, Kevin, technically speaking, you've nailed the real issue here. The attendance metric itself is broken because it's measuring the wrong thing. You're counting bodies in seats on Sunday morning when what actually matters is who's committed enough to show up Tuesday night for a home group. Mm-hmm. I watched the same thing happen where I was.
Oh,
the machine
really?
Needs bodies for the show to justify the budget. So everything gets oriented that way. And suddenly, your real discipleship pipeline, the home groups, can't scale because all your actual leaders are exhausted running the Sunday production. The irony is, you end up with 1,000 casual attendees subsidizing 7 home groups of people who actually know each other, and you call that growth.
Yeah. Yep. I think you're right on. You're spot on with that. You summed it up pretty well, what I was trying to say. I think it's... It's a difficult time. It's just because you still have the traditional church is very much in most cases it's still very active. You still have a lot of old folks that are still doing the same thing. Some of them are really dead set on doing hymns, and then you've got people who just they want something that they can tap their foot to on Sunday morning. They want more of that modern beat thing because they think it's going to get the young kids in and all that stuff. Young kids will appreciate him. If they get in there and they hear four-part harmony, I guarantee you they're going to want to sing hymns. Now, in my opinion, it's partially that. The music has something to do with it, but music has a way of really connecting us in a way that doesn't, you know, there's just, I can't explain it. It's an amazing thing. However, the message is sometimes more important, in my opinion. If you go in there and it's something that really changes your life and it cuts you to the quick, as they say, it really, you know, just, you realize, you know, I think we have a self-awareness problem in our country. And I think that being able to have, you know, scripture points at who we really are, at our character. It works on who we are as a person if it's properly divided. And I think that's part of the issue, is that we don't have that much anymore. But so that's...
You're hitting on something real there.
Something real.
Music's the delivery mechanism.
Always something real.
But if the message doesn't actually confront who people are and challenge them to change, you're just running a weekly entertainment service with better production value than the one down the street.
Yeah.
That self-awareness problem you're talking about, that's exactly why home groups work and Sunday morning spectacle doesn't. In a living room with 8 couples, you can't hide behind the lights and the sound
mix. Right, right.
And that's where actual transformation happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you do life together. When you're in a smaller group like that, you really can't hide. You're doing life together, and that's where faith really, you know, hits the pavement. You really are, you know, hey, I'm not sure I can make my car payment this week. Hey, my son, you know, broke his arm. My child is going to college, and he's going away from the faith, and he doesn't want to have anything to do with church. Whatever it is, those issues that you deal with, you don't talk about those things on Sunday morning. You go in, you sit there, you maybe say hi to your neighbor, and then you kind of have a few conversations, and maybe go out to dinner with somebody afterwards. Maybe most of the time you don't. But then what? Then you go about your life again the next week, and you do the same thing again. And with a home group, you're in touch with each other. You're planning some events. You're going to get together and have a picnic. You're going to have a dinner. Whatever you're going to do. Our home group, we meet on Friday nights. We happen to have a Shabbat meal. We just eat. We light the candles and we eat. It's like a carry-in type thing. And then we have some teaching, and then we do some singing. And it's usually during, you know, now in the summertime, it's a little hard to do that while the sun is setting, but it's typically, you know, sunset on Friday night, which is when Shabbat starts. And we're not trying to do it, you know, we're not trying to do it. We're just acknowledging what Shabbat means. It doesn't, you know, we don't practice it exactly the way that, you know, a Shabbat meal would be. But at the same time, we acknowledge that that's what it is. And because it speaks, it points to something. It's important to remember to understand the message of Shabbat. So that's what we do. We call it a Torah study. We're going through the alphabet again. We're trying to finish it. I think we've made it through like 5 or 6 letters. There's so much. We've been working on it for years, and we're trying to go through it. We started it up again. I think we're on the 7th or 8th letter or something like that, and it's fascinating. The alphabet itself is pretty amazing. Let's go to the ladies here. We're going to go to, I did Leonard. Okay.
Hey, Kevin, great show as always.
That's not
I've
it.
Been digging into.
Didn't want that. Sometimes this thing jumps around. The callers jump around. They have a certain subject that triggers them. And so they go into different orders. Well, as I'm getting ready to click on one, Artie decided to step in there and make himself known. Because he thought I was talking to him, and I wasn't. I was trying to talk to Elena. So we're going to go to Elena now. See what
Kevin,
she has to say. Yes,
long-time listener.
I know you are. Many-time
caller.
The
Serbian president's warning about Christian persecution in Kosovo over that bridge situation really echoes the Balkans conflicts of the 1990s. We've seen this exact pattern before. NATO pullbacks followed by targeting of Christian minorities in Muslim-majority areas. History shows us that when Western powers disengage from protecting Christian communities in that region, violence follows within months. Are we about to repeat the mistakes of Srebrenica? The Hizasa?
I think you got cut off during part of whatever you're going to say there. I don't know if anybody else could hear her. She said the historical parallels are chilling. That's what she, that's how she finished up her statement there. I think you're referring to the Kosovo incident. It was a Breitbart story, I think, yesterday, or I think it was yesterday. The NATO, there was a Serbian president, I guess, that talked about it, about Christian persecution. I think that's what you're referring to. It's pretty serious. There's this, in Britain, I think, the largest Christian music festival in Britain had to be shut down because one person was killed and six others were injured. Now, my understanding is that is an issue about, I believe it was a Muslim attack. If the information I've gotten or received from them is from this whole thing is correct. The 13th Indian state. There's a lot of persecution happening throughout the world, and there's a kind of dividing line, and a lot of it has to do with the division between Christian and Islam stuff. So there's a lot of that going on. And maybe you know right off the bat because you've studied it here, Ellen. I don't know what you can tell me. Maybe you can't find it, but interesting information. Historically, there's going to be tension, I think, further along, and there's radical Islam that is just a problem, and people can be radicalized. They used to be radicalized in other countries. They'd be someplace else and they get radicalized. Now the radicals are among us in the Western world, whether it's in the UK or whether it's in the United States or wherever, Australia or wherever it is. They're forming cells and becoming more radicalized within our borders now. And that's a problem. I don't know how you change that. Everybody says, well, they need a reformation like Christianity had a reformation. That's not going to happen in Islam. It's a totally different animal. And I know that people will, they haven't been exposed to it that much or something. I don't know. The reality of it is, I spent some time in Nigeria, and there were some of the areas we went into were extremely high populations of Muslims. Some of them were considered Muslim villages. In fact, they were very kind to us. They invited us there for dinner. We had a dinner after the church service, after the Christian church service. The mayor of the city, the head of the tribe or whatever it was, the head of the village, invited us to his house for dinner. Well, we ate there, but we could not eat inside. He ate inside. We ate outside because we were Christians. So they brought us food. Very good food, by the way. Nobody got sick. But you never know. This happened so many times in especially in African countries where they would poison missionaries. We prayed over the food and we made sure it was okay. But it was one of those things where it's just a very strange thing. Though they didn't have much. They wouldn't have dinner with us. Dinner is a very intimate thing. It's eating a meal with someone is kind of an intimate thing, and it's much like singing. It's kind of this mysterious kind of thing that happens with people when they eat together, because you're vulnerable in that state. And I think there's something just to be said about the fact that they will not allow stoop down to eat with a Christian kind of thing. So it's kind of a weird thing that happens there. But go ahead. I've been talking too much, probably going to have all kinds of things to say. Just
I appreciate you sharing that Nigeria experience, but I'd push back gently on the interpretation. Mm-hmm. What you're describing is actually religious observance, not necessarily rejection of Christians as people. That separation during meals follows Islamic dietary laws and social practice.
Yeah, and it's...
Same as Orthodox Jews or devout Christians have their own protocols. The real tension you're identifying is real, absolutely. But it's worth separating doctrinal difference from deliberate hostility. Because history shows us that distinction matters enormously when communities live alongside each other. And it breaks down fast when we start reading malice into ritual.
Elena. Okay, first of all, well, that's just observance. It's just observance that we don't sit down and eat with a Christian. That's just because of dietary laws. So if it's a part of your dietary laws and your observance of your religion, that makes it okay to discriminate and not invite someone to sit with you at a table. How different is that than saying, well, my dietary laws say that since I'm white, I can't sit down with anyone with skin color, with a teal skin color any higher than a certain melatonin rate. Those people have to be sitting, they have to sit out there. I can't eat with them. It's because of my dietary laws, it's because of my religious practice. It's in my book. What would you call that? Would you call that racism? I think you would. It would be vilified. This is the same kind of thing. Probably the only religion on the planet, pretty much, that's acceptable to persecute, to call names and disassociate and divide up and belittle and be put upon, is the Christian religion, Christian faith, Christians. Now, they would, they say, oh, no, the Christians are the ones who are you're the racists. The Christians are the racists. No, it's not the case at all. I could bring receipts. There's all kinds of guys online right now that are talking about the history of what Christianity has done. Now, don't get me wrong. The Catholic Church, there are some denominations. There are some, yeah, I could go into it. The Catholic Church is one of them. That's not the only one. There are plenty of things on both sides here. There's all kinds of things under the banner of religious institutionalism. There have been all kinds of more than weird. It's I would just call it just flagrant, just hypocrisy and ridiculous stuff. Anyway, that's where I'm going to go with that. A lot of people do things in the name of religion that really, I'm afraid that are not done in his name. Well, they claim they're doing him in his name, and it's not his name. I think Jesus spoke, and that was one of his biggest gripes with the religious leaders of the day, was their hypocrisy and the way that they would say one thing to another. They would, you know, they would pretend like they were so pious in what they were doing, and yet they couldn't recognize their own. And again, it's self-awareness. And realizing it's not so much about that. It is what you do with that information. Realizing how you are. Well, what are you going to do with that? You have to confess it and just accept. You know, hey, God needs to work with me on this. I've got to confess this. I got this problem, and there's no end to your problems. It's going to be a long journey going through all that
Kevin?
Stuff.
Yeah. Did you see that GOP gubernatorial candidate who says he literally met Satan in person during an exorcism? Like, in person. That's so intense. And then J.D. Vance is out here talking about sensing spiritual darkness from world leaders. It's giving major spiritual warfare vibes. Is this the new normal for Christian politicians to be this open about demonic encounters? It's wild.
I don't know. It's interesting. Now, I think there's almost like a competition going on right now, because you get these people who say, oh, yeah, I was attacked. I think was it Tucker Carlson said he was attacked by a demon a couple times or something. He had scars all over him. And all. I don't know. Here's something that I was, this may be off, maybe, I don't even know if this is a parallel issue. It's probably just off on a tangent. I was just reminded of this. I'm going to get your fix on this, Chloe. See what you think about this. I was listening to somebody's testimony yesterday, and it was somebody that, if I said her name, everybody would know who she is. But I think, She's pretty popular. This thing where people at some point in their life, they're at this major low point in their life. And they make this promise to God. They make a deal with God. And they say, God, if you just heal me from this, or if you get me out of this situation, I'll do this for you the rest of my life. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see this deal-making thing going on. Maybe I'm missing it somewhere. And maybe it happened in the Old Testament. I don't know that it was that kind of a thing. I think because I'm thinking that there were some cases where God kind of, I mean, and God does say, you know, if you do this, you will be blessed here, blessed in him. But it's not a deal. It's not this. I'll give you this if you give me that. It's not a tip, what do they call that? So, in fact, that sounds more like something that the enemy would do. And I guess, that it kind of bothers me. I just don't see myself making that kind of a deal with God. I just, okay, God, here's my deal. I'm yours. There you go. I don't know what you want to do with me, what I can do for you, but just, I'm just here. Because I am not a deal maker. I'm not a deal keeper. He's that. I am not. Tell you what, it's your deal, God. And it's all in your hands, and I'm just here, and I'm yours. And that's about as good as I can just receive whatever you got for me. That's all I got to say. I can't. I guess that's where I'm at. Maybe I'm going a little too deep here for you, Chloe. I know you're not that deep of a person, but you can respond if you want to. I'm just going to shut up so you can kind of. Push your two
okay,
cents
so
in
you're
there.
Literally touching on something that's been bugging me too.
Oh, yeah.
Like the Old Testament is full of covenants, but those are God's promises, mm-hmm. not human bargaining chips. And yeah, there's definitely a demonic energy to the whole "I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine" vibe with the divine. I think what we're seeing with all these public demon encounter testimonies is less about biblical precedent and more about this viral spirituality thing where the wildest story wins. And that's actually kind of sus when you think about it.
Yeah, and I guess here's where I see it going. And this is why I think it's a popularity thing almost to some extent. Well, the enemy's after me. That means I must be really important. It's almost a self-aggrandizing thing that's the only way I can explain it. It's that it seems like it's a thing where people, well, you know, the enemy attacked me, so therefore I must have a really important purpose, an important struggle. But it's almost like it becomes this competition thing. And it's like, well, I was attacked by a demon. Oh, because the demons hate you. Now, if you remember the seven sons of Sceva or whatever it is, I can't remember exactly what it was. I probably should look it up. This just came to my mind. I haven't even looked at it for a long time. These guys went in to cast out these demons. And they said, "We cast you out in the name of the one who Paul preaches about." Not the one they knew. They didn't do it in Jesus' name. They did it in the one he preaches about. Well, the demons said, "Paul I know, and was it Peter? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, whatever it is. But you I don't know." And of course, they proceeded to beat the daylights out of them. And they ran out without, you know, basically naked and scarred up and all, because they ripped their clothes off and pretty much shot them out the door. They didn't have a personal relationship with God. They were trying to do something in somebody else's name. Kind of this in absentia kind of thing. That doesn't work. So there is this thing of, but they were trying to be. Now I suppose they probably, oh, you know, the demon came after us because we're so important. They thought they were important enough that they could go in there and deal with it. It's again, a lot of people that get in these circles, and they will say. Now what's interesting is some of these people who claim they've been attacked by demons. If you look into their theology in terms of the religion that they belong to, the institution they belong to, many of them don't even believe that demons exist. And so it's kind of a weird dynamic to the whole thing. But it's just been an interesting show that these people put on, in my opinion. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Spiritual stuff and spiritual warfare is a real thing, and it's to be taken seriously. I question some of these people that talk about stuff like that. It's kind of interesting how that. I mean, if you listen carefully to what they're saying about some of these stuff, it's you have to wonder why. First of all, why are they talking about it? And does it bring a testimony to who Jesus is and how they were able to defeat that particular, or did they? And so it usually just brings up more questions for me. It's kind of where I end up taking it. Anyway, I am going to, I think I'm just going to call the show here. I've got to get to the license branch. Got some stuff to do. That's not supposed to be playing. We got, I had the wrong one playing there in the background. Sorry about that. We'll get this one going. I thought that was, this is the right one. Okay, we have tomorrow. So tomorrow's show, Friday, Financial Friday. I think we'll have a show. We'll see how it goes. If I do have a show, it's going to be on the boat. And it will be recorded. I have to have internet service in order to make it work with the callers, with the bot callers. So I may have to do the show. I'm going to put together the show tonight, at least as far as getting things kind of settled and recorded. Now, I don't know if I'm going to record the show tonight, but I'm going to have to get some things set up tomorrow morning. Probably going to be doing the show extremely early tomorrow morning. I'll probably do it at the dock, and then we're going to get away from the dock and get going because I want to get there before dark tomorrow. Supposed to have a lot of wind, so it shouldn't take us about 35 miles. We're going to be sailing and get there when we'll get there when we get there. But in the meantime, folks, God bless. If I don't have a show tomorrow, Shabbat Shalom. And if I do, then I'll see you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Otherwise, hope you have a great rest of your day, rest of your week, into the weekend. And we will talk to you later. In the meantime, see ya.